So we are on page 782. We are almost at the moment of enlightenment. We are very close to the moment of enlightenment.
Well, thank you. With that.
So the yogi progresses from the one stage of knowledge to another, and so the last one was equanimity about formations. So when his knowledge of equanimity about formations becomes mature, then there will come a time when he gets enlightenment. So as he repeats, develops and cultivates that equanimity about formations, his faith becomes more resolute, his energy better exerted, his mindfulness better established, his mind better concentrated, while his equanimity about formations grow more refined. And then he thinks now the path will arise. So as I have told you, this Pali idiom was misunderstood by, I think, all English translators. There was one Burmese professor who translated Visuddhimagga into English. So he also did not get it correct. So, it is not that he thinks that now the path will arise, because the yogi doesn't know when the path will arise. But the idiom here used is like when the path is about to arise.
Now the path so is about to arise.
Yeah, no, that is a meaning. Right. So we can say when it should be said, now the path will arise, something like that. When it should be said, now the path will arise. It means the same thing. So when the path is about to arise, that means when the person is about to get enlightenment, then equanimity about formations, after comprehending formations as impermanent or as painful or as not self, sinks into the life continuum. Life continuum means bhavanga. There are types of consciousness which are called life continuum, and they are say inactive movements of consciousness. They are more prominent when we are asleep or when we have fainted, something like that. So when he is about to get enlightenment, then there must come one thought process. So in order for that thought process to arise, there must be an interval of life continuum. So the yogi is practicing meditation, and his knowledge of equanimity about formations grow and refined, and then there comes the life continuum. Maybe not only one moment, a few moments of life continuum. Then after the life continuum, next to the life continuum, mind or adverting arises, making formations its object, as impermanent or as painful or as not self, according to the way taken by equanimity about formations. So after the life continuum, there arises what is called mind-door adverting consciousness. That means from that moment on, the mind is, or consciousness is, turned towards the mind-door, or turns towards turns to be active moments of consciousness. So there are moments of bhavanga, which are inactive moments. Then after that, the mind or adverting arises. So at that moment, the consciousness is turned towards the object of that that consciousness. So it is called mind or adverting. So from this moment on comes the active moment. The making formations its object. So that mind or adverting consciousness takes formations as its object, viewing them as impermanent or as painful or as not self. Then next to the functioning adverting consciousness that arose, displacing the life continuum, that means next to the mind or adverting consciousness, the first impulsion consciousness arises, making formations its object in the same way, maintaining the continuity of consciousness. So after the mind or adverting consciousness, there arises what? First impulsion consciousness, first jivana consciousness. And there will be four moments of jivana consciousness, or sometimes three. So the first impulsion consciousness arises, making formations its object. So it takes the same object as the mind or adverting consciousness. This is called the preliminary work, that consciousness. The impulsion or jivana consciousness is called the preliminary work. Next to that, a second impulsion consciousness arises, another consciousness, making formations its object in the same way, taking the formations as object. And this is called the access, that means approaching or going into the vicinity of enlightenment. Next to that, a third impersonal consciousness also arises, making formations its object the same way. So another consciousness. This is called conformity. These are their individual names. So preliminary work, access, and conformity are their individual names. But it is admissible to call all three impulsions, repetition or preliminary work, or access or conformity, indiscriminately. So you can call these three by only one name, any name. Or you can call them by their individual names. So there is, in this thought process, first mind or adverting consciousness, and then three movements of jivana, right? Preliminary work, access, and conformity. Next is for what is called change of lineage. But before that, we have to understand about conformity. Conformity to what? To what precedes and to what follows. So it conforms to what precedes it, and also to what follows it. For it conforms to the function of truth, actually correct function or right function, both in the 8 preceding kinds of inside knowledge and in the 37 states partaking of enlightenment that follow. So this consciousness is it conforms to the preceding 8 vipassana inside knowledges, and also conforming to those that come later, and they are the 37 states partaking of enlightenment. Actually, they are members of enlightenment. They arise at the moment of enlightenment. So it is in conformity with both preceding knowledges and the succeeding ones. Since its occurrence is contingent upon formations through comprehending the characteristics of impermanence, etc., it, so to speak, says, knowledge of rise and fall indeed saw the rise and fall of precisely those states that process rise and fall and so on. As though this knowledge was saying, it is to show that it conforms to the previous knowledges.
So are these rather unusual in that they are harmonious with both the conditioned and the unconditioned? Is that what's being said?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. In the series of moments of consciousness, the conformity is one, in the middle. So it conforms to what precedes it, the vipassana, stages of vipassana knowledges.
Right.
Because a yogi has to go from one stage to another.
Right.
And then at the moment of enlightenment, and there will be the 37 states partaking to enlightenment, or the members of enlightenment. So it conforms to these states too. So it is like a, something like a buffer.
Bridge.
Huh?
Yeah? Bridge?
Like a bridge, yeah. It conforms to both. It is harmonious with both preceding and succeeding.
But is it harmonious with the unconditioned?
Not yet. It takes conditions or formations
as objects.
Still
in the conditions.
Yes.
Okay.
Still. The object is still the conditioned things or formations, because it is in the limit of vipassana. It has not yet gone beyond vipassana. So it is still vipassana. Since it is still vipassana, it must take formations or conditioned things as object. Vipassana does not take nirvana as object, or unconditioned as object. So this paragraph describes how it conforms to the previous knowledges and then succeeding ones, and then a simile is given of a righteous king who sits in the place of judgment, hearing the pronouncements of the judges while excluding bias and remaining impartial, conforms both to their pronouncement and to the ancient royal custom by saying, so be it. So it is here too. Now, excluding bias, I want you to make a mark there. That means he does not, that the king does not act through attachment or through anger or whatever. So we will come to that, to this later. And on page, let me see, in the next chapter. Well, on page 799, they are called bad ways. Actually, they are bad ways means improper action, maybe. That is biasness. So when you do something, you are biased because you are attached to that person, or you are angry with that person, or you are afraid of some repercussions, or simply you are ignorant. You don't know anything about that. Then you make mistakes there. So here the king was just. So he was not biased. And remaining impartial conforms both to the pronouncement and to the ancient royal custom of saying so be and so on. Conformity is like the king. And the eight kinds of knowledge are the eight judges and so on. So this is the knowledge of conformity. Now, I think you remember the insight leading to emergence. Do you remember these three, the insight leading to emergence? Now, paragraph 134. Now, though this conformity knowledge is the end of the insight leading to emergence that has conformations as its object, still change of lineage knowledge is the last of all the kinds of insight leading to emergence. Insight leading to emergence means desire to get out of it, and then re-contemplation and equanimity about formations. These three kinds of knowledges are called insight leading to emergence. Emergence means enlightenment. It gets out of samsara or something like that. So There are three insights leading to emergence. And then that has the formation as its object. Still, change of lineage knowledge is the last of the kinds of insight leading to emergence. Oh, the last one is Gotrabhu, right? So, I'm sorry, change of lineage. So change of lineage takes Nibbana as its object, but the others take formations as object. That is the difference. Although they are called insight leading to emergence.
So the change of lineage is also could be thought of as a bridge.
Something like a gate to enlightenment. Oh. Do you have this chart? No? Yeah. So. Now, if you look at the second page, okay, you see the number 11, Sankharupika Jnana, knowledge of equanimity about formation. And then 12, Anuloma Jnana, knowledge of conformity. And 13, Gotrabhu Jnana, knowledge of change of lineage. So these three, desire for freedom and so on. But these three are called Vottana Gamini Vipassana. You see the word Vottana Gamini Vipassana. That means insight leading to emergence. So these three are called insights leading to emergence. Among them, the first two take formations as object. And the last one, number 13, Gotrabhu Jnana, I mean knowledge of change of lineage, takes Nibbana as object. So that is what this paragraph is saying. So this conformity knowledge is the end of the insight leading to emergence. That has the formations as its object. So two of them take formations as object. And 12, knowledge of conformity is the second or the last. So it is said here, is the end of the insight leading to emergence that has formations as its object. Still, change of lineage knowledge is the last of all the kinds of insight leading to emergence. So the insight leading to emergence is the name of three vipassana knowledges. Knowledge of equanimity about formations, knowledge of conformity, and knowledge of change of lineage. We haven't come to change of lineage yet. And then sutta references are given. And in this paragraph, different words used for this knowledge of conformity are described. So sometimes in some discourses it is called aloofness, attamayata in Pali. Then in another sutta it is called what? Dispassion, nibbida. Then in another sutta it is called knowledge of the relationship of states. Then in another sutta it is called culmination of perception. Then in another sutta it is called principal factor of purity. And then in the Patisamvita Magga it is called by the three names thus, desire for deliverance, and the contemplation of reflection, and equanimity about formations. These three are collectively called conformity knowledge in Patisamvita Magga. And in the Patthana, it is called by two names, that's conformity to change of lineage and conformity to cleansing. And in the Ratthavinita Sutta, it is called purification by knowledge and vision of the way. So it has many names, and it is described by different names in in different discourses. So when we read those discourses and when we see these words, we are to understand that these words refer to the conformity knowledge here, described here. So after the conformity knowledge comes change of lineage, next chapter. It is actually this change of lineage is next to enlightenment, next to path consciousness. So change of lineage knowledge comes next. Its position is to avert to the path. And so it belongs neither to purification by knowledge and vision of the way, nor purification by knowledge and vision. Now, there are seven stages of purity in Vipassana, and they are given in this chart. So the knowledge of change of lineage does not belong to any of these purities. It is just in between the one purity and the other. Its position is to advert to the path, and so it belongs neither to purification by knowledge and vision of the way, that is previous one, nor to purification by knowledge and vision of the succeeding one. So but being indeterminate, it is unassignable. We cannot say that it is included in the previous purity or the succeeding purity. So it is free from both purities. Still, it is reckoned as insight because it falls in line with insight, because it falls in the flow of insight, vipassana. It is called vipassana. But strictly speaking, it is not vipassana because it does not take formations as object. It takes nirvana as object. And then purification of knowledge and vision, the last purification, properly consists in knowledge of the four paths, that is to say the path of stream entry, the path of one's return, the path of non-return, and the path of arahantship. Now, change of lineage knowledge and knowledge of the first path. Herein, nothing further needs to be done by one who wants to achieve, firstly, the knowledge of the first path. Now, he is just very, very close to path consciousness or enlightenment, so he doesn't have to do anything more. For what he needs to do has already been done by arousing the insight that ends in conformity knowledge. As soon as conformity knowledge has arisen in him in this way, and the thick murk that hides the truth has been dispelled by the respective force peculiar to each of the three kinds of conformity, then his consciousness no longer enters into or settles down on or resolves upon any field of formations at all. So his consciousness does not want to be on the formations at all, because he has been seeing formations as impermanent, as painful, and as not self. So his mind does not cling to anything, cleaves or clutches onto it, but retreats, retracts, and recoils at what it does from a lotus leaf. And every sign as object, every occurrence as object, appears as an impediment. So at that moment, he doesn't want to dwell on the formations, on the mind and matter, which he has been observing all through Vipassana meditation. Then while every sign and occurrence appears to him as an impediment, when conformity knowledge's repetition has ended, change of lineage knowledge arises in him. So after the conformity knowledge, the consciousness, which is called conformity knowledge, disappears, then it is followed by the consciousness called change of lineage. So change of lineage knowledge arises in him, which takes as its object the signless, no occurrence, no formation, cessation, nirvana. So it takes nirvana as object, which knowledge passes out of the lineage, the category, the plane of the ordinary man, and enters the lineage, the category, the plane of noble ones. Now, these are the meaning of the word. Pali word is Gotrabhu, Gotrabhu. Gotrabhu. In that word, Gotra means lineage, and Bhu has two meanings. So one is to overpower or to go beyond, and the other is to reach into or to go into, to enter. So the word Gudrabhu means going beyond the lineage of ordinary persons, Uttojana, and reaching into the lineage of noble persons. So change of lineage really means overpowering one lineage and then entering another lineage. So passes out of the lineage means overcome or go beyond the lineage of ordinary persons, and then enters into the lineage of noble persons. Because after this, path will arise. As soon as path arises, he becomes a noble person. He is no longer an ordinary person. So at this point, he changes into, not yet changes, but he prepares to change into another person. That is why it is called lineage.
Does he know this is happening?
after the enlightenment, there will come reflecting on the path, fruit, and so on. So that time he knows. But at this moment, it's very very short. You know, just one moment of consciousness, and then. And the path consciousness has never experienced this in his life before, and so it's like overwhelming experience, although it lasts for only one brief thought moment. And after this brief thought moment, he is a changed person, changed mentally. So, being the first adverting, the first concern, the first reaction to Nirvana as object, fulfills the state of a condition for the path in six ways. So it is a condition for the path in six ways. Has proximity, contiguity, repetition, decisive support, absence, and disappearance conditions. You have to go back to Patthana in order to understand these conditions. The Patthana conditions are described in the chapter on dependent origination. So, it serves as a condition for the path consciousness. How is it that understanding of emergence and turning away from the external is change of lineage knowledge and so on? So these are quotations. Now, in this quotation, there is a footnote, the away from the external, and it is... He misunderstood the sub-commentary. So, it is the understanding of the turning away that is being affected. Which turning away is emergence from the field of formations? It is termed external because the unformed element's existence is external. So that is not correct. Now, here, the formations are called external. Turning away from the external means turning away from the formations. Actually, formations cannot necessarily be external. See, if you are watching your own breath, say watching your own consciousness or watching your own feelings, how could they be external? They are actually internal. But here they are called external, and then the sub-commentary explains why they are called external here. So it is called, it is termed, it means the formations. It is termed external because it is external to the unformed element. That means it is not the unformed element. Unformed element means what? Nirvana. Yeah. So it is other than Nirvana. So it is called external. In fact, it is not external. It is internal. So you are watching your own mind or matter. So it is internal. But they are here called external, because they are out of nirvana, something like that. So the footnote should be, it is termed external because it is external to the unformed element. Stop. And then the note about the unformed element, because nirvana is classed as external under the internal triad of the Abhidhamma Madhika, it is not necessary. Although it is not wrong, it is not necessary here. In the the first book of Abhidhamma, nirvana is described as external. Although the yogis realize nirvana, it is external, not internal. So that is described in the first book of Abhidhamma. So nirvana is external there. But here, formations are called external. Yes. Just because they are not nirvana, so they are out of nirvana. And then here is a simile that illustrates how conformity and change of lineage occur with different objects, though occurring in a single cognitive series with a single adverting. Now, one, as a rule, one thought process must have only one object. Now, if you look at the thought process of seeing thought process, there are 17 moments of consciousness in that thought process. All 17 moments of thought, the consciousness takes the present visible object as object. So there should be no difference of object in one given thought process, or for different consciousness in one given thought process. But here it is different. Well, here some chetas, some types of consciousness take formations as object, and some others take nirvana as object. Although it is called one thought process, there is difference of object for some types of consciousness in this thought process. Now, this thought process begins with mind or adverting, right? And then three moments of impulsion. And after these three moments, change of lineage. So, three moments plus change of lineage, these four are also jhavana moments, impulsions. Now, the mind or adverting, and then three moments following, they take formations as object. But change of lineage takes nirvana as object, and then path takes nirvana as object, and then fruition takes nirvana as object. So in this particular thought process, there is difference of objects. So here is a simile that illustrates how conformity and change of lineage occur with different objects, though occurring in a single cognitive series, that means one thought process, with a single adverting. Each thought process has one adverting at the beginning of it. Sometimes if the object is through the five senses, then five sense door adverting. If the object is through mind door, then there is mind door adverting. So each thought process has one adverting. So that it is said here with a single adverting. So with a single adverting, then ordinarily the object must be the same. But in this particular thought process, the thought process of enlightenment, there is difference of object. Some moments take formations as object, and some others take nirvana as object. So in this paragraph, the author explains this. Suppose a man wanted to leap across a broad stream and establish himself on the opposite bank. he would run fast, and seizing a rope fastened to the branch of a tree on the stream's near bank and hanging down or a pole, would leap with his body tending, inclining, and leaning towards the opposite bank. And when he had arrived above the opposite bank, he would let go, fall on to the opposite bank, staggering first, and then steady himself there. So do this meditator who wants to establish himself on Nibbana, the blank opposite to the kinds of becoming, generation, destiny, station, and abode, runs first by means of the contemplations of rise and fall, etc. So that is, he's running fast at that time. And seizing with conformities adverting to impermanence, pain, and not self, the rope of materiality fastens to the branch of his selfhood, and hanging down, or one among the poles beginning with feeling, he leaps with the first conformity consciousness. So the first conformity consciousness is like leaping without letting go. And with the second, he tends, inclines, and leans towards Nibbana, like the body that was standing, inclining and leaning towards the opposite bank. Then, being with the third, next to Nibbana, which is now attainable, like the others arriving above the opposite bank, now he is on the opposite bank, then he lets go of that formation as object. So he no longer takes that the formation as object with the seizing of that consciousness. And with the change of lineage consciousness, he falls onto the unformed Nibbana, the bank opposite. But staggering, as the man did, for lack of previous repetition, he is not yet properly steady on the single object. And after that, he is steadied by path consciousness. So he crossed over to the other bank, and on the other bank, then let go of the robe or let go of the formations, and then he falls on the other bank, which is Nibbana. But the first fall, he was not yet steady. And then next moment, when he the path consciousness arises, then he was steadily established on the other bank or on Nibbana. And here conformity is able to disperse the murk of defilements that conceals the truth, but it is unable to make Nibbana its object. It is their difference, conformity and change of lineage. So conformity can dispel the defilements that conceals the truth, but it is unable to make Nibbana its object. Change of lineage is only able to make Nibbana its object, but it is unable to dispel the murk that conceals the truth, because they have different functions. And then the simile follows. Now we'll skip the simile. And then, skip simile of the simile. Now, in paragraph 12, another simile. An archer, it seems, had a target set up at a distance of 8 usabas, about 100 yards. And wrapping his face in a cloth and arming himself with an arrow, he stood on a wheel contrivance, a revolving platform. Another man turned the wheel contrivance, and when the target was opposite the archer, he gave him a sign with his stick. Without pausing after the sign, the archer shot the arrow and hit the target. Now, in the Pali, the word 100 was used. So it is not one target, 100 target. So he put, say, some 100 yards or maybe 200 yards away. And then the man is on a wheel contrivance, a revolving platform. And then the other man turns the platform. And the archer was blindfolded. And then when he is face to face with one target, then the man will give him a sign, say, maybe something like a bell. And then with that sign, he shoots the arrow, and then arrow hits the target. So there are not one target, but a hundred targets. So the Pali word used here is lakha satta. So it is not one, but 100. The reason why he took it to be one may be the use of singular number here. Now, in Pali, the numbers 100 is in singular number. So you say 100 men. When you use Pali, you use singular number, not plural number.
100 men.
100 men. I don't know how to say in English. It has no equivalent in English. So the word used is lakha satam in singular number. Although the grammatical number is singular, the meaning is plural. Say many, 100. So in Pali grammar, such peculiarities abound, and so you have to understand that too. So had 100 targets set up at the distance of 8 usobas and so on. Now, the first fruition, let's go to the first fruition. So after the change of lineage, the path consciousness arises. Immediately next to that knowledge, however, there arise either two or three, or not there. I think we skip the what we call magga. And without pausing after the time given by that change of lineage knowledge, the path follows upon it. Yeah, the path follows. So immediately after change of lineage, the path consciousness arises. And then immediately after the path consciousness, there arise either two or three fruition consciousnesses, which are its result. For it is owing to this very fact that supramundane profitable consciousness results immediately that it is said, and which he called the concentration with immediate result. And sluggishly he reaches what has immediate result for the destruction of the Gangas, and so on. Now, the path consciousness is immediately followed by how many fruition consciousnesses? Two or three. Path consciousness is a cause, and fruition consciousness is the result. So here, the result follows the cause immediately. There is no interval between cause and effect in this particular case. Now, in the description of Dhamma, there is a word called what? Akaliko. And that word was also misunderstood by many, many persons. Akaliko. A means not. Kala means time. Ika means having. So, having no time or whatever. So that is translated as timeless or something. But the real meaning or the real interpretation of that word is not that it is timeless, but it gives immediate results. That is the correct meaning. That means no interval time between cause and its result. So because of that, it is said in the Ratana Sutta that which he called the concentration with immediate results, something like that. Some, however, say that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 fruition consciousnesses. So there is a difference of opinion among Theravada Buddhists also. So the common opinion is that there are 2 moments or 3 moments of fruition consciousness. But there are some who say there are only 1 fruition consciousness or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 fruition consciousnesses. That is inadmissible. For change of lineage knowledge arises at the end of conformity's repetition. So at the minimum, there must be 2 conformity consciousness. In order for it to be repetition, there must be at least 2, right? Not 1. If it is only 1, we cannot call it repetition. So repetition means at least 2. So there must be 2 conformities. So at the minimum, there must be 2 conformity consciousness. Since 1 alone does not act as a repetition condition, and a single series of impulsions has a maximum of 7 consciousnesses. When the jhana arises, it arises 7 times, right? Mostly 7 times. But at the moment of death, only 5 times. Or when someone has fainted, 5 times. But under normal conditions, javanas must be how many? 7. Okay. Consequently, death series, which has 2 conformities and change of lineage as 3rd and path consciousness as 4th, has 3 fruition consciousnesses. So, three conformity moments, 1 change of lineage moment, now we get 4. Path consciousness, 5. So how many remain? 2. So in that case, there must be 2 fruition consciousnesses. Sometimes, there is only 2 conformity consciousnesses instead of 3. For those who have quick intelligence, there are only 2 conformity moments. So when there are 2 conformity moments, the 3rd is change of lineage, the 4th is magga, and so there must be 3 fruition consciousnesses. So there are either 2 or 3 fruition consciousnesses immediately following the path consciousness. There can be no 4 fruition consciousness or 5 fruition consciousness or 1 fruition consciousness.